and fill it up and other counselors come and be ministered to. I can't do it. I'm not supposed to do it. I'd be sidetracked from what I'm called to do. What are you called to do? I want to see you doing it with power. I want to see you doing that. If you're called to heal the sick, then praise God that he's going to give you something so big and a platform to do it on. And whether it's with us, with something else, it's got to be about building up Beauty for Ashes. It's got to be about building up God's people. What is God calling you to? What are you supposed to do? Nothing till you have victory. Nothing till you enter the rest. But what happens is a few anointed people start to get there, and then they start trying to make it what they've got to do. Jesus didn't do everything. He didn't even heal some of the sick people. As I said, that they were sitting there for so many years, and Jesus walked by there a lot of times, according to the Bible, and it wasn't until Peter and those guys came along they got healed. Whew. God, I only want to do what you want me to do because you've got it all together. You know how to do it. What I was just saying, it's not about the... I could go out and try to bring in a harvest single-handedly with the anointing of power, and I would make a tiny dent. But the Bible says the laborers are few. If I do what the Lord's called me to do and help him have his way in his people to bring forth laborers, then think of the great big overall crunch. Although I might not personally begin to get to minister to the amount of people to build up anything for Cindy Foster. Do you get what I'm saying? I got to see Christ formed in you, or I haven't done what I'm called to do. And I can't see Christ formed in you when you got the house of the devil so tall that every time a little bit of work of God happens, you fall right back. You go back into the other house. It's like you're walking around and they're checking in, checking out. Check in God's house. Hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory. Oh, I witnessed. Check out. Oh, the devil says I'm rotten. Let's check into the devil's house. Oh, I'm rotten. I'm terrible. I can't do nothing. No. Hi. How are you doing? Hi. Hi. It's like, what house are you in? I want to not just get you out of the devil's house. I want to get the devil's house out of you. And then I don't want to just see Christ in you. I want to see you in Christ. I'm right about this. Okay. Let us beware then, since the promise never lapses, none of you must think that he has come too late for the promise of entering his place of rest. We received the gospel exactly as they did, but hearing the message did them no good, because they did not share the faith of those who did listen. We, however, who have faith. Okay, get a hold of this. You got to have faith to enter the rest. Fear will keep you out of the rest. Fear is Satan's substance to stop you. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of reputation, fear of man, fear of not having stuff. Fear, 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 fear. Throw it away. Who cares? Go after God with everything. Who cares what they think about you? Who cares what they say about you? Just absolutely know you're going to mess up some and God's going to fix it. And who cares? Get to a place of faith. When I talked to this young man in the jail yesterday, I said, all right, let me give you the scenario here. If this judge says, I don't want to hear any more of this, looking at your record, there's no hope for you, young man, and I'm sending you to the worst place he could think of. Fear would say, God's not real. I doubt any of this is real. There's really no place for me. God's probably not even in me. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, then Satan's going to take you and he's going to destroy you in this place. I said, now, what does faith say? God, if you're sending me to this place, you're going to protect me in this place. God, if you're sending me to this place, there's something there that's going to change my life for your glory. God, if you're sending me to this place, if you're sending me to this place, let me be a light there. God, it doesn't matter where I'm at as long as you're with me. And so, and you know, I said to him, I said, you could say, Your Honor, I'm just going to trust that God's going to use this. And I think this court, the judge would pass out and fall. Then he might get up and say, wait a minute, maybe I made a wrong decision. Every situation, you get a choice. Whose house are you going to build? And I'll tell you this, before you really get a strong house built with the Lord in charge, it looks really messy. Your marriage will probably look messy. What people are going to say and try to hurt your kids will probably look messy. Your pastor, oh my gosh, he's going to make this look so messy. Other Christians are going to make this look so mess. And you know what? It looks really bad for a while when God's tearing down a house. It looks so messy. There ain't nothing going on over there. I mean, and then the people God brings here, they're all the people who got a lot of the wrong house in them. So they already come here ready to, on the verge of divorce. They already come here with sickness and disease. They already come here. But of course, as we walk this through, it all shows up. So then I'm Jezebel because of all the bad stuff in all of you that you walk through these doors with. I didn't give it to any of you. I've been used by God to get a lot of you set free from it. I've been used by God to see a lot of marriages saved, and some of them went down the tubes before they ever hooked with me. I'm going to tell you what, though. That's where I can have no reputation, because they're going to take and make me look like Jezebel from one end to the other. But glory, hallelujah, because you can't stop what God is doing and the fruit, and it takes time. It takes time for them to really begin to want to hear or to see. And folks, who cares? Because I want God to be glorified, no matter what anybody thinks. But God has to deal with me about what the enemy can say through somebody else. If that can still hurt me, he's still got his house going. Lord, we need to, or he's trying to get it back in. You know, the Bible says, if you're not being persecuted, I'm serious, if you're not being persecuted, you're really not making an impact. I'm just being honest. He says that. He says, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they're not, then you don't know it, but you've joined the club. Well, I haven't joined the club. But I love everybody. Sometimes it hurts. It's like, Lord, why don't they even listen? Why don't they even know? All we preach is Jesus. But it's because it's not the people. It's the house the enemy's built in them. It's strongholds and lies. And it's going to be love that's going to tear it down. It's going to be by the fruit. It's going to be, Lord told me, he said, no matter what, and this is in your own lives, as you begin to let God build his house in you, you've got to get to this place of freedom from condemnation, freedom from fear of rejection, freedom from fear of man. See, everything Satan has done in you is to make it so you can't become what God wants you to be. You almost have to bow your knee to compromise. You have to bow your knee to what people want because you've been so hurt and damaged that your coping mechanisms are to help to make sure it never happens again. And God isn't going to tell you it won't happen again. God will pretty much promise you in his word, oh, it will happen again. Oh, just wait and see how much it will happen again. But what he wants to do is get anything out of you that can respond to it. But he also has to get rid of your coping mechanisms because they're not of him. We, however, everyone say, we.
We.
That means me. Okay. However, who have faith are entering a place of rest. And the Lord says, then in my anger, I swore that they would never enter my place of rest. Now, God's work was all finished at the beginning of the world, referring to the seventh day. And God rested on the seventh day after all the work he had been doing. And again, the passage says, they will never reach my place of rest. Therefore, it remains the case, then, that there would be some people. You're some people. Say, I'm some people. Who would reach it? Don't you want to reach that place of rest? Don't you want to reach that place in God where it's all him for real and it's all going forth and it's awesome, it's all for his glory, and he's bringing forth this promise that he gave way back to Abraham, this promise that Moses wasn't able to lead the people into, this promise that the church has not seen in this century anyway, and overall, the church overall has not seen this. I want to see it. The Bible promises there are some people who will reach it. And since those who first heard the good news were prevented from entering by the refusal to believe, God fixed another day, which is today. When can you enter the rest?
Today.
When?
Today.
Today. You don't have to. In most areas of my life, I have entered the rest. In most areas of my life, there's not much anything that can happen to throw me. I just ask God, what's going on? What do you want me to do? I'm not saying I'm perfected. I'm saying, though, but overall, and there's still things he shows me. I said some goofy things, and he showed me how to do with vanity. So we're going to have a big clinic on vanity one day, because vanity is not what you think. Vanity can be someone who thinks that they think that they're ugly, and they could be very vain just to even think like that, to even judge like that. It's dealing with heart issues. It's dealing with where your self-esteem is at. He said, God fixed another day today when he said through David in the text, "If only you would listen to him today. Do not harden your hearts." If Joshua had led them into this place of rest, God would not later have spoken of another day. There must still be, therefore, a seventh-day rest reserved for God's people, since to enter the place of rest is to rest after your work, as God did after his. Let us then press forward to enter this place of rest, as some of you might copy this example of refusal to believe and be lost. The word of God is something... Oh, this is so good. All right, so we want to go into this place of rest. Let me see what that is in the Greek real quick, because I didn't pre-study this. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I didn't know. Hebrews 4. Okay. He has set it where about the seventh thusly and completely stopped the God in the day, the seventh from all the works of him. And in this again, if they will go into the complete stop of him. Whoa. It's, in the Bible, the Greek is not called rest. It's complete stop in Christ. Think of it this way. You're walking along and walking along and walking along trying to get somewhere. And then you come into the complete stop in Christ. He's where you've been trying to get to. That place in him is the rest. I don't know why they call it, I guess, complete stop. If you completely stop, your whole body's not moving. Think about that. It sounds different. Rest, we think of rest and you toss and turn and still do a little bit. Complete stop. It's like a deep freeze in Christ, you know. It's like he wants you to come to a place where it's not you anymore. It's him working in you. Not some zombie kind of thing. A true surrender and oneness, like Jesus walked in. It's really what Jesus, what the rest is. What the promised land is. The promised land is not your ministry. The promised land is not the power you have. The promised land is you walking with the Father exactly like Jesus walked with the Father. That's what he did. He didn't have a boring life. He didn't have a zombie thing. He didn't have a religious spirit. He had an awesome, wonderful life in the very presence of God, doing the will of the Father, being obedient, watching God do his thing, watching God be glorified. That's what God has for each of us. And so we have to come to a complete stop of doing our own thing, a complete stop of doing the devil's thing, a complete stop to where it's all about Christ. Sometimes it's cool to look in the Greek and see what it says. All right, we're almost done now. I like this. Now, put all this together. So he's telling us that there's a house being built in us and he's the builder. We have to keep our eyes focused on him as the builder and not the house. Not worrying so much about us, but keeping our eyes on the Lord. He then goes on to talk about there's a place called a rest. There's a place called a complete stop in Christ. There's this awesome place that's the promised land for every believer. It's what Abraham and them were looking for. Moses, the old covenant, could never get you there. Rules and regulations can't get you there. But there is such a place in God where it's a complete stop to self, and instead self completely surrendered and one in complete unity with God. Whoa. Then he tells us how to get there. The word of God is something alive and active. It cuts more incisively than any two-edged sword. It can seek out the place where the soul is divided from the spirit, or joints from marrow. It can pass judgment on secret emotions and thoughts. No created thing is hidden from him. Everything is uncovered, stretched fully open to the eyes of the one to whom we must give account of ourselves. Okay. Let's keep on. Since in Jesus, the Son of God, we have the supreme high priest who has gone through to the highest heaven, we must hold firm to our profession of faith, for the high priest we have is not incapable of feeling our weaknesses with us. He knows what you're going through, folks, but has been put to the test in exactly the same way as ourselves, apart from sin. Let us then have no fear in approaching the throne of grace to receive mercy, to find grace when we are in need of help. All right. We're going to stop right here and say this. What God is saying here is, look, to get to this place of rest, come to God. Be real with God. Let him uncover the hurts. Let him deal with your coping mechanisms. Let everything, let his word, when he says there should be no envy, there should be no jealousy, if you've got it in you, let that sword stop right there and say, okay, why do I have this? Why do I have this anger? Why do I have this condemnation? Why do I have it? Let what he says in that word belongs to you. When it doesn't belong to you, you stop it and you say, what is going on here? And then you come to him. Then it says, come to him. He knows what you're going through. He knows about your weaknesses. He knows how to get you to the other place. He knows how to get you into the rest because he's been into the rest. Quit reading people's books about entering to places they've never been. I don't care what you preach if you don't live it. I absolutely don't even want to hear it. Don't give me parenting tips when your kids are a mess. Don't tell me what's wrong with my marriage when you're divorced. Don't tell me how to raise kids and you don't have any. You can point me to the Word and say this is in the Word, but there's something about going through it. That's what Jesus did. He went through it. He's saying, I went through it all. I went through every single thing. That's why you can always come to me. Maybe you can't find anyone else who was bound in homosexuality. But when I went to Calvary, homosexuality came after me. And I can tell you how to get through it, because I was tempted in every way. I walked through this in every way. You want to get free from cigarette smoking? Let somebody who's gotten free by the power of God pray for you to get free. Doesn't mean other people can't pray for you. I pray for people. Thank God I don't have to have everything wrong with me that people come for prayer. I just have God in me. But to get a hold of that, it's God in me that's got to do it. But there are areas where I've gotten victory through Christ that I know that I know how he did it. I know what it's like to think like that. I know what it's like to feel like your life is over. How can it ever be right when your child is dead? I know what it's like to feel so hopeless, because how can that ever be right? How can that ever be right? Even when you